Welcome to Big Blend Radio with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazine.com.
Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Writers Wednesday show with Books Forward PR. Today's show features Christine Isley Farmer, and she's joining us to chat about her brand new book, Finding My Yip, Boomer's Tales, Book One. It is a children's book, and it is out now through Wandering Woods Press. I encourage you to go to Christine's website. It is goodreadsbychristine.com, and that's Christine with a C-H. So goodreadsbychristine.com. You can get the book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all those places. And also, don't forget to ask your independent bookstore to carry it, whether they carry it online or in store. But we want to welcome Christine, who's out in chilly Murfreesboro, Tennessee. How are you, Christine?
I'm thawing out slowly. Thanks for asking.
Oh, boy.
Thawing out slowly. Oh, there That's you go. Thawing out. I thought you said falling out. I was like, no, you can't fall down. That's not our Champagne Sunday show.
No, falling.
Where we all fall down. Thawing out. I know. I'm hoping spring comes to all of us soon, and you know, because we all want to get outside and a little bit more than we are. But very excited about your book. So this is actually a series, the first of a series of Boomer's Tales, right?
Yes, it is. There are six books planned for the series. I have five drafts already written.
Oh, wow!
So I've just got the sixth one to. Come up with an idea, and that will probably be the end of the series.
Oh,
well, what a good idea, though.
It's such a cute story, and, you know, I love this because you're tackling things, issues that children go through and dogs, right? And you're also sharing the connectivity between, you know, the fur family and the human family and how they're connected. And also there's music in there because I know you're into music, and we'll talk about that in a second. But let's start with Boomer, who Boomer is.
Well, Boomer is a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. And in the first book, he is a puppy. He and his two sisters live with and the mama dog live with Nana, or right now staying with Nana Weathers. Their owner has taken a long extended trip and has left the mother dog and the puppies with her good friend Nana Weather, or Celia Weathers. And so what happens is that living with Nana Weathers is her 9-year-old granddaughter, Chloe. And Boomer and Chloe form a bond. Now, Boomer doesn't have a name at first, but he's the only male puppy in the litter. He has two sisters. And so the two of them form a bond because Chloe has a stutter. And Boomer can't yip. He can't figure out why he can't yip like his sisters do. So they bond together because Chloe sympathizes with the fact that he's trying to yip and he can't. And she tries to talk, but she stutters. And she also has a wish. She wants to sing. She wants her grandmother is a musician who plays the piano and also sings. And she wants to sing. She says Nana is singing in the kitchen, and she leans over and whispers in Boomer's ear, "I wish I could sing like Nana." So what she wants to do is to be able to sing with confidence and not stutter like her grandmother.
I know I want people to know that you've got a really big career in music as a performer, also a professor, especially when it comes to opera, operetta, musical theater. And this is not just in this country, but also in Europe. And it's a long list. And also you teach. And I wanted to touch on this with singing because we actually have some friends. One lady we've known, you know, for years who has a stutter, but when she sings, she does not stutter. And it's something to do, I don't know if it's the focus or the breathing, but singing really helps her, even in speech.
Exactly. When you're speaking, a lot of times, and I have a little bit of a stammer myself and a little bit of a stutter, because what happens is your brain is moving faster than your articulators. So, but when you're singing, that activates a portion of the brain that you don't normally use with speaking, especially if it's music. So there are a lot of singers who have stutters, but they don't stutter when they sing, like Mel Tillis, the country singer. Carly Simon is another one who has a stutter or has a stutter. It is possible to sing, to have a stutter when you talk, but to sing without one.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I like that. I like that. It's, and it's something important for kids to know going through this at a young age, because with COVID, whether they're doing Zoom, connecting, or maybe they are safely playing with their siblings or neighborhood, there is that fear of being picked on, So I think for getting that strength and basically you're finding your voice, right, is important.
Exactly.
And for having a children's book to help you and a dog, because really.
That's cool.
Yeah, having a dog or any animal as part of your life as a child, they are almost more of a best friend because you can tell them anything.
Well, and that's what happens in this relationship. She tells her dog, Boomer, what she's afraid of and why she's sad. Now, of course, her grandmother would know this too. But in my story, Chloe reveals to Boomer that she has come to live with Nana Weathers because she lost her parents in an accident, car accident. So on top of a stutter that she probably had a little bit of before, now the trauma of losing her parents and having to move to a new community, go to a new school, that increases her stutter. It's like a traumatic event makes the stutter even worse.
Okay. That makes sense.
So she has to learn to have confidence in herself and believe in herself. And the relationship with her dog really helps that, because they go through dog obedience school together. She works with Boomer in dog obedience school. They also have to confront bullies. There's a bully in the dog obedience class, which is a Chihuahua. And then the smallest dog in the class is the bully.
little ankle snapper.
Yeah.
And then she and her best friend, boyfriend, is a math nerd. He's also athletic, but he's a math nerd. And so she's teased because of her stutter, and he's teased because he's a math nerd.
Oh, gosh.
So they bond that way because they have a commonality of being teased at school.
I love this. I love this. And the Cavalier King Charles Spaniels, they are beautiful. Nancy, how many pet portraits have you done in your life of the King Charles Spaniels?
I've done so many pet portraits, but King Charles Spaniels, every time I see one, I have to go and get a closer look because I don't see them that often here. It seems to me there were more in England, but they're just,
oh yes, because that's where they came from.
Yeah, okay, but they're such cute,
beautiful,
guys. So beautiful, and they're so soft. And I think I've done probably about 16 portraits of Cavaliers, but. That's hard for me to remember back because it's so long ago, but they're just so mellow as little dogs, because sometimes the smaller the dog, the more yappy they get, a little bit more nervous and hyper sometimes, but they're just really, I think they're mellow little dogs. They're very sweet. And their fur is so soft.
Right. And so, yeah. And my Cavalier, that is the Cavalier in the story, Boomer, my Cavalier is a Blenheim. He's the brown and white, or tan and white.
Okay.
Or they call it chestnut and white, too.
Okay.
But he has big brown eyes, and they're very lively, but they have they're very gentle, too. They're a good dog for children, as long as the child is, schooled by the parents to how to treat a dog.
But it's interesting the obedience training is important, because I think, and Chloe being part of that in the book, because that's something right now so many people, we've done so many shows about this, so many people have adopted dogs during COVID. Mm. And I'm wondering, you know, like even as pet sitters, as we travel, we, when we settle in with a pet, I mean, we pretty much are there 24/7 because people are there usually now with their dog 24/7. The world's going to change, so that's going to be interesting. But people are bringing home pets for the first time, and it's important for them to understand the how to have that relationship. And sometimes the obedience part isn't that actually key, because it actually protects everybody, including the
dog. Yes, it does.
Hmm.
Exactly. I mean, and you, your dog, I know when we first got our dog, he, anytime the doorbell rang, he barked, and that's normal, but he would want to race to the door and bark. And I had to train him so that when the doorbell rang, I went to the door, I turned around and said, I had to teach him to stay, sit and stay, and then let me open the door so he didn't rush towards the people who were, or the person, people who were at the door and scare them, you know, a barking dog running at me. You know, might bite. So, yeah, it's, I think training a dog is really important. I think it's part of being a pet, responsibility of a pet owner to either take your dog to obedience classes or, you know, get a manual and learn how to use hand signals. You can use hand signals and use the verbal signals to train them.
I'm glad you said that. I think everybody's much happier when the dog is trained. It just, you know, and I think even the dog gets happier, even, you know, I'm going to say they're like children, but so don't email me that I don't know the difference between humans and animals, because I do. but your children are happier when they know what you expect. And, you know, that, and so I think when I say train your children, I'm not telling them to act like circus dogs or something. I'm saying that when a child or a pet knows what you expect, they are pretty willing and want to do that.
That gives you them confidence.
Yeah.
Yes, and I agree. And then you have to be consistent with the dog.
Right.
Because you think dogs come from wolves. And always in a pack, there's an alpha.
Right.
So I had to learn to be the alpha dog. Because and that meant that we always eat first. My husband and I eat first. The dog eats after us because that's the way it is in the pack. The leader of the pack eats, and then the others eat afterwards.
That's
so small things like that. Just small things like that. So our dog sits patiently and waits until we have finished eating. And he knows that we – that. I guess I am, because I'm the one that's around Dylan more than anybody, than my husband. But he knows that that's the way it is in our household. So he's not, you know, whining and complaining that he's not being fed. He knows what to expect. And we're consistent with that. And even if I'm in a hurry and I have to get out the door and I know that I'm going to have to feed him because I'm leaving the house, I will put something in my mouth, like a carrot stick or whatever, and I'll chew on that before I feed him. He knows I eat first.
That's clever. I like
that.
Wow.
Wow. Well, and it's good that you're doing carrot sticks. I'd be in trouble with that. I'm going to have a piece of pizza first. Well, I want to touch on this.
Well, I sometimes do have pizza first. But
okay. Cool. I'm coming with you. We had it for breakfast. But anyhow, it happens sometimes. Going into, I mean, we're talking about confidence. So, you know, and, you know, Boomer in the book, you know, finding his yip, and finding your yip is about having that confidence to do it and that freedom to be able to, you know, fall down without being poked fun at. But the people who want to, or dogs, or who want to poke fun, will do it, the bullies. And I think having a relationship, having a good buddy with you, always helps boost your confidence to get past the drama we go through with others, the bullies in our lives. But the confidence part for Chloe to be able to sing is, I mean, getting up on stage, I remember, obviously, I know how to talk a lot. But I remember as a singer, I could get up on stage and sing and be connected in the energy of the band, the energy of the audience, be connected in the energy of what I was doing and go off into my own little world. But I mean, the nerves, like at one, I mean, I couldn't hold a microphone. I would start shaking and people are looking at me because I'm pretty, you know, I'm shy, but I'm and reserved in a way where you wouldn't believe that, but it's true. But I will also sit and talk and connect, but to do it to especially a big audience or even the smaller the audience, that's even more nerve wracking. I get the shake.
Mm-hmm.
I had to like learn. And no, you don't do it by a glass of wine. I learned about that too. But how to build confidence to do it because it is, it's nerve-wracking. And then to even talk to the audience was like just to tell them what song we're going to do or no way. I was out. That was the hardest thing. Just let me sing and that's it. But I couldn't hold the mic. It took a long time of just getting over it. But it that confidence level for kids, you know, if they can do music at a young age, you know, and I think anything you want at any age and start at any age, but the younger, the better, because I think music really being able to perform or write or whatever you're doing, I think music, dance, performance, acting, the arts gives you a voice that maybe you need to have, but it also gives you that confidence and an escape too, if you need it.
Yeah. Yes. Well, in this book, Chloe also writes poetry, and the book opens with her. They're reading a book together about Cavalier King Charles Spaniels, but she also has a poetry book that she writes in. And at the talent show, the piece that they perform is a poem that she has written, and Nana Weathers has written the music, but it's Chloe's poem that's set to music. So if she ends up singing her own words in the book, but it's not sure whether she's going to be able to do it or not because she's nervous about, as anybody would be, nervous about. Is it going to work? Am I going to be able to sing? And so a device that's in the book is that Nana Weathers has a magical ring. And what she uses this ring for is to help people, children, people, and animals. And so what happens in the book when Boomer eventually is able to at least yip, she suggests that he take singing lessons with her, and she uses her magical ring to help him sing, and that helps Chloe. Now, we know in real life that a dog doesn't really sing on pitch, but this is a device in the book. This is a device, and children love magic. You know, this is for 6 to 8 year olds because so they love magic, anything that's magical.
Yeah.
So that's a device that I've used in this book to bring about even more bonding between Chloe and Boomer is because she sees that Boomer has overcome his problem with yipping and now is starting to sing. And so maybe she can overcome her problem as well and gain self-confidence.
You know, the relationship between children and their pets or pet owners and their pets is, you know, how that saying about I'd like to be a fly on the wall. I bet pets have heard some most interesting stories told to them by their caretakers or owners. You know, if they could speak English, we'd all be in trouble, I bet.
Yeah. Well, we probably would not want them to be able to go out and tell us some of the stories they've heard.
But you know, when
in
they
our household,
yeah, when they howl or they go to, you know, they go dog walking in the park or something, and they greet other dogs. I think they're gossiping.
Well, I'm going to tell you, when I was growing up, my parents had a black Labrador retriever, and I used to practice in the house. And as soon as I would get above a certain pitch level, Moses was the dog's name, would come in and go, woo, woo, woo.
Yeah, see? Howlers. I love that.
We were taking care of two collies up in Madison, Wisconsin, and little Gus Bucket. We call Gus Bucket this little poodle, crazy little Gus. But the collies would lean. You're talking about pack animals and wolves. They would come in and do this lean and like put, like he'd be in this dog circle. Like, and even the little poodle would get in there. But yeah, we could get them to have, because we I don't know what it is, but we are weird, but we do really good at pet sitting because we love the animals.
And the garden.
They all end up with their own songs.
Yeah.
It's not all the same, but the collies, they had the Who Let the Dogs Out. And,
yeah, Who Let the
but
Dogs
we would,
Out?
And if we did it in different pitches, you could look at their eye and there was that, are you going to do the crazy sound? And we'd be like, okay, let's do the crazy sound. And we could get them to howl. And if anything was going like a, you know, sirens or whatever, and dogs start to howl, we'd go in there and join them, and they would sit and accept us in the circle, the pack of howling with them. And they'd sometimes give us a look like, no, you didn't do it quite right. And, you know, because it, I don't know, anyway.
Yeah,
howling with dogs. It's you're part of that connection. You know, like Luna, the dog we're taking care of now, she comes in and does the big lean on you, and she definitely has a voice, man.
She's
she
got
wants
the pack
to
lean.
Everybody in the neighborhood that she's there, you know. But I think going back to kids and dogs, you know, and their pets,
so good.
You know, sometimes kids are going through something, you know, harsh. I mean, Nancy, your childhood was a little bit on the rough side, and your dogs saved you.
Oh,
you
they
know,
meant
Dad and
everything.
Nana.
Yeah, they meant everything. I went outside all the time, and the dogs would lick the tears, and they'd lie in my lap, and I'd talk to them, and they, you know, I'm like, are you really understanding? Because they actually were easier to talk to than people, because you felt that they were actually listening, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think it's important for children to have pets, as long as everybody's treating the animals the way they should and deserve to be treated, you know, with love and respect. And I don't know, it was rough enough with the pets. Without the pets, I think I would have run away. Not that I didn't try a few times, but, you know, I think I really
would've.
Well,
I felt the same way, too. Yeah. I came out of a home where it was not ideal. Mm-hmm. A lot of children come out of less than ideal homes.
Yeah.
And I had cats and dogs, and but I loved both cats and dogs, but I think that I gravitated more to my dogs because I felt there was more of a sense of responding to me. Cats are pretty independent, and I felt like with my dogs, you know, they really, you can take your dog to walk, you can take your dog can follow you on a bike ride or whatever. Cats normally don't do that kind of things, but I mean, I had both and I loved both growing up as a child.
Yeah, the cats are, I love cats too, but they, you know, okay, I'll let you pet me. Okay,
yeah,
you can
if you're left now. Yeah, it depends. And I'll let you know, like, you know, in the middle of the night, I'll come lick your face. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, it's different. But,
or do the Olympic races across your, or do the Olympic race. Because when I lived in New York City, I had a cat. And I had a loft bed in my apartment. And I slept in that loft. And that cat would start the races across the wooden platform there at 5 a.m. and would not cease until I got up and fed her.
Yep,
exactly.
That's it.
That's
they're
it.
Like,
they have they're nocturnal, and they're like, it's time to play. And then they'll sleep all day. You're like, hey, you know, no, sorry. We're just going to wait until you fall asleep to start playing. Interesting.
No, see, the cats think that you're their pet and or servant, more like servant. And dogs are like, man, I love you. You know, that's the difference.
Well, the other thing too, this is, you know, there's something about children's books, and right now, you know, people, like I was saying, bringing, you know, more pets into the home, hopefully rescues or going into your local shelter, and you bring the dogs and cats home, whatever it may be. So that's a new, you know, it could be the second or third dog, you know, it's somebody new in the home. So a relationship has to be built. And also this kind of book to me is a way to introduce kids to pets, but also have something for the parents. It's a tool. I think parents need all the tools and support they can, because suddenly it's like, oh, kids, I might be homeschooling, and I, you know, there's homeschooling, or that you set up to do homeschooling. You made that choice a few years ago, and there's a whole program for that. And then suddenly it's like, hey, I'm half homeschooling because, you know, I'm balancing work and kids. But a book is a way to kind of escape the reality of day-to-day life and do something together as a family, and then they're still learning in there.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, parents can read to their children, read with their children. That's a bonding activity right there. Mm-hmm. You sit and read a book. If you have a child that's learning how to read, you know, you help them with words that they don't understand. Nice thing about my book is I have a glossary at the end, mm-hmm. Which gives them there are musical terms, and so not every parent is musical. So if you know there are words like pitches, what does that mean? There's a glossary in the back that explains that. The mother dog is from England, and she barks in English, British. So not everyone understands what blimey means.
Blimey,
you know. So a glossary helps with that for the parents.
Now, wouldn't it be fun since you're going to have accents with your dog to have this animated as an animated series? Wouldn't that be fun?
Mm. Oh, what that would be.
I think it'd be so funny because it's kind of like what Disney would do, you know. And so it's kind of like the Lady and the Tramp kind of thing. And
oh, yes.
You could have the puppies have British accents.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, no. Well, the puppies are American born, but their mother is British. So she barks British, but the puppies, absorb that because of her quote accent, if you want to call it that, but she uses a different vocabulary. So they learn that too. The mother dog has these sayings that she uses. They're supposed to be sayings so that the puppies can understand, you know, it's not right to steal, it's not right to do certain things, but it's put in a way that the mother dog would explain it to them in dog language.
So this is why dogs bark at each other, because one is barking in a British accent and the other one's barking in a German accent.
In Italian.
Oh, wait.
And if you have rescues... If they're rescues, they're going into a neighborhood that, you know, may have the Southern drawl, and then the other side is like, hey, I just got rescued from New York City. Move on with it. You know, you're going to have it. It's like, listen, you know, you got to pass by fast, you know, don't
take that. Animate this.
Oh, I know. I love this. I love this. You know, so I love, so people, you've got to get reading on this, and I'm glad this is a series that's coming out. It's out now, but the first one's out, but a full-blown series. I'm really glad you're doing that, and it's exciting, again, also what you're doing with music, because music has been taken away out of so many school programs, depending on where you live in the country, and some places just don't have it in the world, and, you know, books are, you know, universal. So I think that's the education part. In closing, is that something why you decided to write? Because I know you've done a lot of professional papers over your years as a professor and a teacher and performer. You know, the professional papers, those ones that you must really read with your brain open, you know. But when you think about a kid's book, I mean, was it to educate?
Well, it is to educate children to that music is something that would be very much, it would be a lot of fun to do. It's also to educate children who do, whether it's a stuttering problem, speech impediment, or another disability. There are all kinds of disabilities in our society. And so even if you read a story about a stuttering child, I think a child with any disability could relate to that. You know? So it was for that reason also, but I think I wanted to include music because in my life, my own personal life, music was really had the power to help me heal.
I get that.
I agree.
It was through, I expressed myself as a child in my family. I would get out and dance and sing. I'd make up my own stories, my own songs. It was a way, it was an escape for me. It was a way of knowing that I have something that I love to do. And my father did not encourage me to be a musician or singer.
Yeah, of course.
He thought that was not going to be a good way for a woman to earn her living.
You're supposed
and
to
that,
get
you know,
married.
I'm thinking years ago, but I have had students that have come in through my doors and said, my parents are not in favor of me being a music major. So I understood exactly where they were coming from. I understood where their parents were coming from, but I also understood, you know, basically the student has a love for something and they are being discouraged. And that's what happened to me. I was being discouraged. But I found that music for me as a child was such a deep emotional connection. And I think we heal through those things, don't you?
Yeah,
when we have a deep emotional connection to something, it gives us it has a healing power. So that's one reason I wrote this book with music in it.
You know, it's such a funny thing how parents can be. It doesn't, if your child wants to be a scientist, you're like, yay, oh, I want to be a musician. No, you know, that doesn't mean it's the only thing that person's going to do. It's so either or.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe the answer would be the child wants to study music and be a musician. And that'd be, oh, that's great. And what else do you want to do? You know, and leave the door open instead of, no, you have to do it. It's this way. It can't be that way. Especially, you know, I think we're finally coming out of the thing where the women are supposed to be in the kitchen, hopefully.
Yeah,
that we are past that now. But hopefully, but, you know, just to let the person be the person they're meant to be. And that is totally up to the person, not the parents. We're supposed to guide, not direct. We're supposed to guide.
But I think a lot of parents, when they look at the arts, they are afraid if they have a child or even going into their teenage years who say, well, I want to be an artist. I want to paint. I want, you know, they are a little bit, I can understand that they would be a little hesitant saying, well, you know, what, there's not a lot of security in that. Well, certainly wasn't a lot of security in becoming a professional singer. I can tell you that right now. I mean, I lived from job to job there for a while. And so I understand where parents are coming from, but, you know, your child has to get out and do what he or she loves. Because they won't be happy if they quash that and say, well, I'm not going to do that because my parents don't approve. Well, do you really want your child to live an unfulfilled life and resent you in the long run?
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. I love the theme of your book because it's finding your voice, you know, and being able to do the singing to get the yip, but it's about finding your voice in life, who you are too, you know. And it should be a conversation that starts at a young age, I believe, not wait until you're in high school going, okay, you're going to college and now you don't know what to study. Because sometimes, I mean, I know adults who don't know what they want to do. And and you can have so many interests and it's okay to explore each one. And it's okay to flip and go, you know what, I'm going to do this now. We're living longer as a species, maybe not so much with COVID. Unfortunately, it's a sad time, but we are living longer lives where people are having more than one career, you know? And so it's like, you're a writer now, you're a children's book author. Did you have that on your list when you were a child? Maybe you did, but there's extra things.
No, I didn't have that on my list.
See, it changes as we go. And everything's connected in the long run. At the end of the day, as I like to say, right, Nancy?
At the end of the day.
It is always connected. And what your passion is will develop into other things. And it's just, I think now even children have got to feel excited about continuing forward. The pandemic and all the drama our country and the rest of the world is going through and has gone through in the last few years, it's got to be scary as a child thinking about, you know, pandemics, epidemics, and, you know, all of this stuff. We've got to
and seeing family members die from this.
Yeah, exactly.
Seeing family members and loved ones die from this. And, you know, also The fact of the matter is that children who have been trying to learn remotely, my great-nephew is very active, and sitting at a computer all day long is not really for him because he is an active kid. He likes to play soccer. He likes to play basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so sitting at a computer remotely, or even the lack of access to Wi-Fi so that you can learn remotely. So our children in our educational system have lost time.
Yeah.
I think they've lost a year, a lot of them, learning process.
For sure.
We've done a lot of shows on education, especially with Bobby DePorter of SuperCamp. They're the world's leader in summer academic achievement programs where kids learn how to study and how to build confidence, especially through what's their nonprofit program is called the 8 Keys of Excellence, where they learn failure leads to success. They learn about integrity, making a commitment, taking ownership for your actions, things like that. It's a really cool program. And we've been doing these Bobby's been on our show since we started over, 14
years ago.
And she, changing the in-person to virtual, she's saying that some schools are saying, you know what, just skip the year and get over it and just cancel out what happened and restart from the beginning again of that grade, because the emotional connectivity to the content isn't there. Yeah, kids doing Zoom, some of them just turn off their video, and some will lie about not being able to have video access. You don't know if they're texting to their friends. And the lack of emotional connection is so important. That's, again, going back to your book, Boomer's Tales. Boomer, that's the one thing kids can have if they have a pet in their house, is some kind of emotional connection that they may not be getting, especially if they're a single kid at home.
Yeah.
Think about all the latchkey kids, right? Latchkey parents.
Yeah.
I mean, these kids coming home maybe alone and not being able to just be out there running around with their friends and kicking cans. I always talk about that for some reason. What did I do? But they,
yeah.
but having the pet,
I know
really
everything you did, Lisa.
I know you do. Eventually it comes out, even on our radio shows. I'll forget I've never told her something. I'm like, well, I'm in my 40s now. What are you going to do? Chase me around the garden with a rolling pin? It ain't happening.
I still have a wooden spoon. I have a wooden spoon.
There are no secrets on the radio, are there?
I know, right? So, but that's the thing. I think kids need emotional connection now more than ever, and they may be closing off. And an animal... We'll help that close off stage, kind of break that open. And it's important that even the animals have projects together. And part of that could be the obedience part. Part of it could be, okay, your duty is to teach the dog to sit. And that means you both have to have patience. And it's a long journey. Teaching pets, obedience. I don't like the obedience because they're wild animals still to me. But I know what you mean. And we have to use that word. But there's that connectivity, that dedication to each other to learn how to, it's about learning how to live with structure together. And you have to learn to live together. You do have to have some kind of structure and routine. And
exactly.
Kids had projects like that. Music is another way, because there's a release through music and writing. Poetry is always a big deal as a kid, being able to write
and
poetry.
I wrote poetry as a child. That
me
was
too.
Another outlet for me.
Yeah, it's huge.
I mean, it's a hobby, but it still is. It's a hobby. I don't try, I'm not trying to publish a poetry book, but I write the poetry because it's just, I get inspired. I'm out, we were talking earlier about walking in nature. I'll be inspired by something I see in nature, and I'll come back and write a poem about it. I think we can find inspiration. Children can find inspiration anywhere, really. The mind, they are so imaginative. I just think about how imaginative children are, because they haven't learned some of the things that stilted thinking that a lot of us have as adults. Their minds are open, and so let them explore as children. Let them explore and grow.
It's really true, because when you're told that you can't do something as a child, you like, oh, why not? And there's that stage of why, why not? Why not? And then the parents don't usually answer why or why not. The answer
and
is
then the
always,
children act out, and the children act out and do it anyway.
Yeah, because,
you know, because
the answer is always because I said so. And I'm sorry, that's just not good enough. it's not good enough of an answer. You got to come up with a better one than because I said so.
Yeah, I said so. No, because you could do that as a book. You could write the I said so files. You know, what was really
bad? That could be your sixth book, because I said so.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, speaking of my second book, it is has already been edited. It's a mystery. It's called A Hard Nut to Crack.
Oh.
And I have a network of squirrels in that one.
Animal lovers.
There's a network of squirrels in that one.
Same
cast of characters in the first book, but then I add in a network worlds. And I wrote a mystery because I grew up reading mysteries. I don't know about you two, but I read mysteries when I was growing up. I loved them. I got lost
the
in a mystery.
Boys.
Oh, absolutely.
The Hardy Boys rock.
I still have
my
Nancy Drew books. I'm waiting for my great niece to get old enough I can pass them down to her.
I did like the Hardy Boys more for some reason.
Yeah,
but
me too.
I'm into girls being able to be part of it too. Listen, in closing here, you know what? I think you need to do a board game. I'm just saying, or a card game.
Oh, that's a great idea.
You need a kids game to come out of this. That one tactile, not always on the phone or the computer or something. A tactile one.
That's true. Well, I have to get somebody like Hasbro to pick it up, right?
But you can use a fire hydrant.
You can't have it
like Monopoly. The fire hydrant.
Well, that would be appropriate with a dog around, wouldn't it?
Well, listen, and you can't have the little Scotty, right? That's in Monopoly. You have to have the Cavalier, you know. So
that's exactly right.
Cool.
Yes,
that's cool.
You could choose your dog breed and have little doggies going around the same fire hydrant. That's interesting.
The conversations at the fire hydrant. Listen, it's more like sniff and spray.
I could say I have a leg up on this conversation.
Yes, you do.
Oh my gosh!
If it's dogs, that's what they would say. I have a leg up on this conversation.
Exactly.
Get out of the kennel free.
Okay, Lee. Get out of the kennel free. I know where we're going with this. I'm sniffing it right now. All right.
Okay.
But thank you so much for joining us, Christine. It has been a true delight having you on the show.
Fun.
And we wish you all the best with your series of books. And everyone, it's Boomer's Tales is the series. The first one is Finding My Yip. That's the first book, and it's out now. And you can go to goodreadsbychristine.com, and that's Christine with a C-H. And also, when you're looking her up, look up Christine Isley Farmer and find her there. We always love to close with music. So we're going to play
and they
a song.
Can order it right from the website. They can order it from the website. Yeah.
Cool. Oh, good. Good.
Excellent.
Get it going.
It's on Amazon
like
as well.
That.
So they can order it directly from Amazon, or they can Barnes & Noble, Bookshop, Indie Books. It's all on my website. They can order it from there.
That's cool. And you also have a place where people can download a little snippet of it to take a look at the book, too, so you can get an idea of what you're getting. By the way, the illustrations are awesome. I wanted to make sure we commented
you.
On that.
Did you do
I will that? Pass that on to Taylor Bills. No, Taylor Bills, who lives in the same town as I, city as I do, he did the illustrations for me, and his father was a colleague of mine at MTSU. He was on the piano faculty. And when I was directing the opera program at MTSU, I hired Taylor, who is an artist in his own right, to design the sets. So he's very, very talented.
That's awesome. Mm. Great illustrations.
Awesome.
Super cool.
Awesome. All right.
Pass that along to him.
Oh, please do. Please do. Well, our song for you today, because we love to connect music with our various guests, and this is called I Am Here. This is really, you created them, but this is dedicated to Boomer and Chloe, because a friendship is about being there for your friends, thick and thin. And this may have been written for a loved one, you know, that kind of lovey-dovey-dovey thing. Yeah. But
oh,
I am here.
You.
I know. This is a beautiful, beautiful song, and it is by Gina Zavalis. Gina is an incredible singer, and I know she's in the works with more music, so we're looking forward to that. Everyone, you can learn more about Gina. Go to GinaZavalis.com. That's Z-A-V-A-L-I-S, GinaZavalis.com. So here it is. It's off of her EP that is self-titled, Gina Zavalis. So enjoy. I am here. And thank you so much, Christine. You take care.
Thank you. I enjoyed meeting and talking to you and Nancy today.
Thank you. And thank you all for joining us here on Big Blend Radio. Keep up with us at bigblendradio.com.